Welcome to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we are embracing the journey. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. One of the skills I've learned as a podcast host is the ability to wrap up a conversation in about an hour. I can think of two occasions when I've let a conversation run longer because there was so much valuable information being shared. Today's conversation runs longer because my guest, Inna's story, is so interesting and her gift is, to me, quite astounding. As before, I've broken the conversation into two parts, approximately an hour each. Part one is cued, Inna's story about being a child in an immigrant family as they search for a place to call home, and her slow awareness that she has a gift to heal, first herself and then the people around her. Listen now to the first part of my conversation with Inna Segal. My guest today is an intuitive healer who wrote a book called The Secret Language of Your Body. And she offers tools and practices that bridge the gap between mind, body, and spirit. If you're a regular listener, you'll know that this is one of the subjects outside my bailiwick. Now, that used to intimidate me, but no longer. Yes, it falls into the category of woo-woo. Yes, I just used air quotes for some of you. And I love reminding you of the definition of woo-woo that I heard many years ago, that woo-woo means anything is possible. We will obviously hear more from Inna, but I suggest you lean in because if it's possible, we need to consider it. Know more about it. Inna Segal, welcome to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we are embracing the journey.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, having read your bio, it sounds like your difficult childhood journey is what basically set the stage for your current gifts and strengths. As much as you want to share, could you tell us about your days as an immigrant, your young days as an immigrant?
So I was born in Eastern Europe and we decided to move because my brother actually got pretty sick, and my parents were told that he wouldn't survive. So they made a decision to move. And originally, we were actually going to either New York or Chicago. And we went through Vienna and Italy. And I absolutely just adored and loved those countries. And I really felt like there was a sense of acceptance and fitting in. And so when my parents, essentially they ended up getting rejected from during the process from going to the US, I think, that there was a cutoff period. And so that they would have these cutoff time periods. And obviously we got into one of those. So my parents decided that it was maybe a good idea to come to Australia, and they called a friend in Australia and asked if, if we could be sponsored to come to Australia, and he said yes. So, so our plans changed, and in my mind, I'm going to say, in that young mind, I was 9 years old at the time, and so I started visualizing Australia, and I kind of visualized it like Italy in my mind, but better.
Wow.
So, when we got to Australia, I had a bit of a shock to my system because it was very different to Europe. It was different, very different to Eastern Europe. And I think that, as any child wants to fit in, I didn't know one word of English. So that was a challenge. And very often, children are very, unaccepting, let's just say, of anyone who's new or different. So difference is not celebrated in childhood most often. And so I started going to school. I was getting bullied, and it was really challenging because in one way my parents were trying to work out their own lives, and in some ways they felt freer than they had ever felt to express themselves, but they also felt like it was a real challenge to financially and in the, and to getting to the community. And because Australians are not as loving as they can be, that they're not very accepting of Eastern Europeans, I'm gonna say. That wasn't kind of a welcoming in terms of, us coming from there. I think if you come from the US, UK, Canada, and you speak the language, you're much more welcomed here, South Africa. So they were really struggling as well, and but they were obviously not getting bullied like I was. I was getting bullied at school, and I would come home and cry every day. And I started noticing that I was getting psoriasis all over my skin, which my dad has, and his twin sister has, and my grandfather had. So it wasn't, it wasn't like it wasn't running in the family, but it was just very curious of when it started for me. And so then I started high school a few years later, and it just kept getting progressively uncomfortable and worse. And in high school, it was a little bit of a different scenario where I could speak the language better at that point. So I wasn't bullied so much for the language, but my parents were very much like, they saw that I had a drive to succeed, that I wanted to make them proud, so to speak. So they said, okay, well, we found out that there's this, private school and people get really good marks there, and they're giving huge, huge discounts to people from, poorer countries, so to speak. And, we'll do our best to pay for it for you. And I mean, it was a real, real struggle. And so I go from, my whole life struggling and living in terms of financially, and living in a house up until I was maybe seven, almost seven, where we didn't have water, we didn't have a toilet, we didn't have a bathroom inside the house. There was no like showers or baths or anything like that. And, again, two families living together, my grandparents, my parents, and I, in two tiny little rooms, to essentially going, coming to Australia, absolutely having more options, and still a small place, but better, with toilet, with dishwasher, with everything that we didn't have. My mom's dream was washing machine for years. And and then going to the school that actually, up until not that long ago, had really only had this privileged, extremely wealthy people. And they don't like it. They don't like seeing the fact that here is, these people coming in who, to them, live on kind of like in poverty, or compared to them, and I went to some of these people's houses, and it was like, six, seven, eight bedroom palaces. I'd never seen anything like it up until then. And so now, me and my friends, because obviously I can only make friends with people who are like me, I've been told, you don't belong here, and we don't want you, but for a very different reason to the previous experience that I've had. And we're all kind of walking around in this state of self-protection. And I noticed that a lot of, again, I didn't think about it at the time, but later on in reflection, I realized how many friends I had who ended up with scoliosis or back problems. For me, it was lower back, which is interestingly very connected to not feeling supported, very emotionally, and very connected to lack, kind of, not knowing how to, how to be financially also supported. And that was very amplified for many years. And I mean, I still have friends who can't talk about this school because of the trauma that they experienced inside themselves. And so, I go through it in my back also. I have sciatica. I can hardly, walk, or I'm having a lot of difficulty at different times on and off, and it just starts to kind of progressively get worse. And then I also have digestive issues. When I was 18, I ended up meeting my first husband, and he's very, very open to alternative healing. And so he starts kind of taking me to different health practitioners. We end up with a chiropractor that works on this with the nervous system, because my nervous system by that stage is not in good place, because I end up getting pregnant at 19 and then losing the baby at 8.5 months. So it was stillborn. And I'm not coping very well with this kind of news and this experience. I'm really thinking that something must be extremely wrong with me and my body by this stage, because not only am I in pain constantly, but on top of that, I have this loss, which in my mind, nobody in Australia has. I never heard about it. I thinking I yeah, something's totally wrong with me. And I kind of go with this attitude of holding on to, like, I'm a victim, but not just a victim, like something's wrong with me, attitude. And I sometimes 5 times a week I'm seeing somebody, so I'm going to this chiropractor, but I know that's not enough, so I'm going to alternative therapies, from Rolfing to kinesiology to whatever else, countless ones that I can find, or my ex-husband found. He was, at the time we were married. And it starts to become like my focus, and I'm one of those people that needs, like I need to succeed, I need to be focused on things, and I'm really struggling with this. So I was going to university for a while, and then I'm not coping, so I'm kind of going, I'm putting university on pause because I need to get my health into or in order. At the same time, I think I am struggling with it, so I'm starting another course somewhere else, because I need to be doing something to not constantly focus on my health. And I end up going to this chiropractor, as I said, 3 times a week. And one day I just wake up and I really feel I cannot cope. I just can't, my back's twisted, I'm inflamed, I'm really struggling. I get in the car, and I literally, as it's like a couple of minute drive, and I'm feeling like I am literally leaving my body. I'm so in so much pain and agony, and at the depth of my victim self. And so I get to his office. He's heard about this, and I mean, he'd been seeing me for over a year, so he'd heard all my stories and everything. And he comes out of his office, and he just says to me, "Well, your body's stuck, you know." I was like, "I'm aware of that." And he says, so I kind of go, "Well, how are you going to help me? What are you going to do about it?" And he goes silent for a moment. And I think, he's really thinking about who I am as a person and what I need and what he needs to do to shake me out of this way that I'm, going, which is not really helping, because I'm running to everybody, but I'm going to them with that perspective of, why are you not healing me? Because that's your job and I'm paying you. And so, you're the expert, you're meant to heal me. And I think he's kind of going, you need something else. Like, this is just not working. So I go home, I'm fuming, I'm furious that he said that he can't help me go home, which is, were his words. And yet, on the way home, I'm starting to think about the language of the body. And I had been studying professional writing and editing and acting. So I thought that I want to be an actor and I want to write. And part of what I was studying was linguistics. And so I'm thinking, well, it's like a language, because linguistics is not easy. And so I'm thinking, this is like linguistics, but it's like Japanese or it's Chinese or it's something that I'm actually really, really not understanding. So how am I meant to, what am I meant to do now? How am I meant to understand it? But at the same time, that part of me that, has had enough and that wants to heal and that is very ambitious, let's call it, is saying, okay, fine. So they can't help me, I'm going to help myself. Because that is something that I've said many times in my life where, when I would say I want to do acting, people go, well, you don't have the right accent, you don't have the right look, you're in the wrong country, you're this. And I was like, fine, I'll write plays and films for myself if that's the case. So I'm kind of taking that attitude now and I'm going, okay, fine. So I've been to everyone. It's still just as bad, probably worse. So now is the time to heal myself. And so I go home, I start by placing my hands on my back and breathing with the pain because and I'm realizing I don't breathe very deeply. I don't, I hold my breath because I'm scared. I don't want to feel this pain. And I think that if I don't breathe, I won't feel it as much. So I'm thinking, okay, try something different. So I'm breathing with the pain and it is expanding, but my mind starts to get super negative. And so I'm going, okay, count backwards from 30. So I'm counting backwards from 30. And as I'm doing that, this thought comes in and it's a challenging thought. It's a very challenging one because I had just had this child that died and I really am blaming God for this in my mind because I'm like, well, there's something wrong with me, but it's also something wrong with God because how could you do this to me? I trusted, I went on this journey. So I have this very kind of young mind in that sense around this, and I'm angry about it, and so and sad and everything and depressed and and I'm saying, all right, well, if there is something that divine that exists that can help me, fine, help me now. But yeah, I don't know if I believe it, but why I should ask. I'm thinking I should ask, and so this warmth kind of comes through my body, and I'm thinking, okay, well, something's happening, but I don't know what. And I have my eyes closed, and I feel this golden light moving kind of into my eyes, and again, I'm thinking, okay, interesting. And then I have this very strange thought that's never come to me before. And the thought is, I wonder what my back would look like if I could see it. Again, I have no expectation. I'm not thinking that I could. It was just a thought. And then within a few moments, I literally feel like there's this light switch. And that's the best way I can describe it. And it goes on, and I'm seeing my back, and I'm scared and confused about how inflamed it is and going, oh my God, I didn't expect this. And I start asking, what is this about? And all the things that I've told you start flashing kind of in my mind. But I'm, sort of coming to Australia, not speaking the language and so on. And I'm starting to allow myself to cry and feel the feelings. And then I become aware of my connection with my grandparents because my grandmother lost all her family during the war, including her mother, who stood in front of her as she was being shot at, as she was running. And my grandmother and I really were very connected. We bonded a lot. And she, took it really hard when I had this child that died. And I'm really feeling that whole interconnection, this family connection of loss, and how it's affecting me, my digestive system, my ability to trust life at all. And to step forward. And so again, I'm acknowledging it. And essentially, there's a few other insights that come to me and I fall asleep. And I can feel that there's something that is unwinding, but not because somebody adjusted my spine, but from inside out. And I wake up the next day and I'm like, it was about 70% of the pain was gone and my body didn't feel inflamed. in that way anymore, but there was still pain and there was still discomfort. And I'm thinking, well, I need to really work with my mind because I know how negative I can get and I know how skeptical I am because I've just had so many kind of disappointments around this. And so I end up focusing and really working on this exploration. I really don't know what I'm doing, essentially, and journaling and writing because I'm a writer, so I write. And as I'm doing that, I'm, kind of connecting lots of pieces of my family and myself together. And somehow I'm going, well, my pain is releasing, my psoriasis is disappearing. And again, it was really interesting because my grandfather had psoriasis, my dad, like I said, and then his sister, and it was like they have not been able to kind of, it's gone worse. So I definitely didn't want it to get worse. And I'm thinking, oh my God, wow, okay, I am speaking to my body and something's really happening here. And so I then think, well, this is, this is amazing, this healing journey. I want to learn more. That's kind of how it all unfolded.
Looking at it from my angle, excuse me, as a grandmother, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, like this child who has experienced a hard life, like you wouldn't have understood as a child that you had that much lack because it was just a fact of your life and your parents were like that and your family was, you know, it was all that. But then to make the change or the moves, which probably took a while. So there's all this strangeness in your life. And then you get to a destination and people aren't nice. And there's a different type of difficulty now because you don't speak the language. You hold it in probably partly to protect your parents. And oh my goodness, like my heart was just going like, oh, this poor child. You know, like I can only imagine that from age 9 to age, I mean, that's 10 years of your body being beat up and you beating up your body and your mind in so many ways. Japers. Now, you were 20 when you healed yourself. Did you have any clue at that point in time the importance or the impact that what you did would have on your life? Like the fact that you've been able to do this, or was it just sort of relief?
Well, I didn't know the impact because I feel like, nobody kind of at 15, especially at that time, we're speaking 25 years ago now, especially at that time, people, it wasn't like you were, this was a known career or something, and so it definitely wasn't on my radar at that time of, oh, I'm gonna do this as a career straight away. It was more like, well, I want to write, I want to act, and thank God, because now I don't have this pain, so let's go for it. And so I think I was saying, not exactly at, I think 20, but I think as I, maybe just before I turned 21 or something, I ended up going back to like really quite intense study in terms of writing. And so I was, this is before I healed myself still, I was kind of like, I made my husband come with me. I didn't actually feel safe enough to, I felt very vulnerable in terms of like even walking around the campus and stuff. So I actually forced him to come. And I mean, he wanted to ride too, so forced maybe is not the right word, but I was like, I don't feel safe, I feel very, very fragile, and I kind of need you to come to classes with me because I cannot sit at home because I'm going cuckoo, I'm going crazy. We need to go to, and do this. And while we were studying, we were also like, well, I wrote a play and I connected to somebody who was coming to my acting class, who was a director, and he was directing the play at the same time when I was 20. And he and then I was had this idea, like, why don't we learn about self-publishing? Because, what if I didn't get published in the future? I wanted, like, I always felt like I want to know all of it. And so we ended up self-publishing other people's kind of stories. And I was like, let's do a competition. Let's try different things. So it was kind of not in my rate on my radar that, oh, I'm going to do this because, and I would sit there on the phone contacting magazines, and I was writing, I started writing for a few magazines. Well, actually, I started writing for magazines when I was 15. So I was, like, okay, I'm going to connect to this one and this one and see if I can get a job. That was really my thought at the time and my focus. And then there was this aspect where I really wanted to help my grandparents. Like, I had a really strong relationship with them, and they were struggling with their health, with everything they'd been through. And I was like, well, I kind of need to learn more about this as well, and maybe this can help people. But the way I'm going to do it is, again, through writing. I'm going to interview people who, it was really my husband at the time, because he was 10 and a half years older. So he had done a lot of kind of study and learning about spirituality, and he had so many books. And I was like, well, why don't you guide me towards which people? But we'll interview them together, and we'll contact them and so on. But who are the people that can inspire me? And potentially I could maybe go to their courses, and I could understand more and so on. So, but it was still through writing. It was like, I'm going to interview them, and then I'm going to write, and then I can get my writing out there, and I'll learn from them, and I'll see where I go with this. And so that's kind of, that was the path. And then, yeah, as I started to interview them, a lot of them were from overseas, from not in Australia, and they were coming at different times to Australia. And so I would interview them. They would let me come to their events. I would learn. I would also realize, and this is probably the hardest thing for me to realize, that not everything they were saying was what I was seeing. Because all I realized that I could see into people's kind of aura, energy
Okay.
field, even their bodies, like what was going on. And so as I was seeing these things, I kind of went, I'm seeing what you're doing, but I know that you don't see it, but it's affecting this person not in the way you think it is. It's actually too harsh, or it's not the right place. And so it was really conflicting, because I was like, but I'm so young and I don't know anything. And these people are, 50, 60, 70, and they know stuff. And I'm sitting here going, oh my God, how do I work with this? And so it's a real journey of coming back to myself and going, I wish there was a university course that I can go to that, could outline everything for me. Because I think people don't, again, realize, like, when you learn about writing, and you actually learn how to research, you have to be a researcher. You cannot write and not research. So you become, and when you learn about linguistics, it's so specific and complex. You kind of, your brain, works in very particular ways. Like, you need detail. You're looking for detail in everything. And you're looking for coherence. And so I was like, right, are there any university courses? No, they're not, in terms of where I want to go and the logic and the kind of, the mind that I have, which is, I didn't like science. I'm not going to say that I liked it, because I was like, this is boring. Why would I spend my time on this? I can write and I can act. But at the same time, in learning how to edit and learning how to write, it is quite mathematical in lots of ways. And so, so my mind was like, well, I'm not seeing enough detail, or I'm not connecting this, so I'm going to do my own exploration and research. Again, coming back to that part of me that went, if I can find it out there, eventually I'm going to come back and I'm going to figure it out both for myself and outside research. And so I guess that's kind of where I went.
It's interesting because what I'm hearing too is that, you had all the book learning, you did your research, you were meeting people, you were interviewing experts in their field, but it was still all out there. And I don't hear that you were yet acknowledging the intuitive person inside you that was saying, that's not quite right, or I'm sensing that this isn't working for this person, or something like that. What, if I'm right, at what point in time did you acknowledge your intuitive self?
I really started to do it at, probably, close to 22, and I was really exploring a lot the whole year of tw when I was 21 to 22, and I was, the skepticism was high, but also there were just too many things that happened where I was like, I just didn't know this. And I'll give you an example. So I was at a yoga class, and again, it's not like I was trying. I actually, what I didn't know how to do was kind of, maybe control what was happening, because it just opened up this ability. So I was at a yoga class and I'm doing an exercise, and then I see this lady and I'm like, oh my God, she's got issues in her chest. And I'm seeing what it is. And because I had some positive kind of feedback from other people, I'm actually going and telling this person. I did learn, very quickly, that's not the way to do it. But I was so young, I still like it was hard to, I think, for
Well,
me
if you
to
know
go,
something
no,
and you want to, you're going to help somebody,
like, why would I be shown this if I'm not meant to tell them? And then I would, I remember there was a person I actually did want to interview, and he was coming to Australia. And there was a lady who was organizing his event. And I just remember taking her flyer, and there was a picture of her. And so I could see this man. He was quite famous at the time in terms of being a famous author. And immediately I can tell that he's got back issues, like rib back issues. And then I look at her photo and I can tell that she's got cancer, that she's kind of recovering from. And so I think about it now, and I was like, I had some guts at the time. So I end up calling her on the phone, and lucky, she's actually a lovely lady. And I end up leaving a message for her, and I'm saying, look, I saw your flyer, and I'd love to interview this particular author, that I know you're bringing out, but also have these abilities and that have woken up, and I could be wrong, but like, I've just got a lot of information about you, and obviously because nobody knew she had cancer, like it wasn't advertised, and I know that well, and I kind of see that you might have cancer, and that you and I can see what it's connected to, and I'm literally and leaving this message on the answering machine. It's like insane. And because I don't know not to do that because I'm so young, at that time. And she picks up the phone and she's like, oh my God, I wasn't going to pick up the phone. And then I started hearing you, and it's like, you do have these issues. And, I was like, well, it comes from your relationship with your father, your husband, and blah, 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 ex-husband. And she was just like, oh my God, okay, that's intense. I mean, I did learn not to ever do that after, because I kind of realize that it's, probably not the best way to do things. But the industry was just like it was so unclear at the time, and it was, like you said, a bit woo-woo. And I did not grow up in a woo-woo household. I grew up in very medical. We go to the doctor. Anything goes wrong, go to the doctor. The doctor knows, take the pill. Don't question anything. Just, that type of thing, in lots of ways. So I was like, oh my God, this is a whole new exploration for me. And, because there was just too many things that were happening like that, I thought, all right, well, let's keep learning. Let's start with learning. I'm a person who needs to learn. I'm challenged that I can't go to university for this because I would like to. But let's just learn from whoever comes along, and let's use the skills that I have acquired from, because I did end up getting, it wasn't a degree. It ended up being, I don't know, you probably have different ones. It's like a diploma, which is, which part of the reason was because I put my study on hold when I got pregnant and lost the baby. And I was just not in a state of being around people. And then I ended up going to this TAFE, we call it, or a college, I guess, just because it had way better teachers. And I did my research and I was like, I should go here and it's closer to my house. And, my partner can come, with me. And so I definitely kept going, and I finished my diploma there. And yeah, and I was like, well, I do have my certificates in this, so let's see, where I go from here. But I'm going to interview. I ended up getting onto this radio show, or getting a kind of community type radio show, and then we had community TV, and I was like, well, let's try that. I'll just keep interviewing and trying to, use what I think my skills are, but I'll keep learning and, seeing how I go. And so around 22, it became clear that this was, I was like, I'm never giving up writing. So it's just how I'm gonna write. But this is something that I really, really need to explore and understand more, and how, and see if it can help people. And I think for me, the more I learned, the more I kept trying on my grandparents, and they were getting better. And they were like, my grandfather had horrendous headaches that, I would see it. I would do some healing on him, and then half an hour later, he was always half an hour later, he would feel so much better. I would work on my grandmother's pain or digestive system, and she would feel better. And so to me, it was like this big thing, of helping them after everything they'd been through, and, helping my mom, helping my dad, my brother. My brother was kind of struggling through his early teenage years, and I remember trying to help him, where, let's just say, he wasn't going down the path that we hoped for. And I said to him, I saw he had this huge lymph node coming out, and I said to him, you know what, I could help you with this. Like, I can do some healing. And he's like, I don't want that stuff. And I said, fine, so,
Especially
suffer
from his
with it
sister,
then.
yeah.
He's like, I don't, yeah. And so then a while later, he's like, that offer you gave me, like, maybe you can do it. And I remember I was kind of working again with him, and he went, opened his eyes. This is his response was like, my God, this is better than drugs. I went, yeah. I'm glad you're seeing this. I'm glad you're recognizing this. And so, it kind of, I think it started progressing, where I started feeling more and more like, I like things that I don't understand. I like learning about things that are not obvious, that are curious. And I was like, well, how much can I learn about this? What can I discover? And can tell you 25 years later, I'm still like, oh my God, there is so much to learn. Like doctors and surgeons learn for, I think, 7 years, and then they need extra things. I'm like, this is never ending in terms of what you can understand about yourself.
Right. So many questions come to mind as you're talking. You do talk about messages from your body. Now, just thinking back on my own life is I think a lot of people, they do hear messages from their body. They just don't realize the importance. They don't realize how to interpret or don't know how to interpret them and don't know what to do about it. And it sounds like that's the path that you have taken is sort of figuring that out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm always like, I'm this person who loves details, needs details and logic. And so when I started to look at, the messages, well, how do we get messages? Well, firstly, we do need to have some basic understanding about the body. And, and so I would ask questions like, well, okay, what's my head for? What does it do? What do I use it for? And it's like, well, I use it for thinking. I use it for concentration. I use it for making decisions. So I started to go, okay, well, then the question is, what causes me to, or anybody to have pain, around the head? So it's like, well, what are they thinking? How much stress and pressure do they have in their life? How do they process this information that comes to them? Do they think about it or do they push it to the side? And what happens if they think about it and they change their perspective? And what happens if they push this to the side? And so at the time, I was also listening to everyone from kind of doctors who are open-minded to this to scientists who are. And there was a particular scientist around, and she, her name was Candace Pert. And so she was talking about certain experiments. And this fascinated me, where she said they're doing experiments with people who had multiple personality disorders. And I must have heard this when I was 21. And she said that, or something like that. She said, well, the experiments they were doing was that, let's say it's Jane, and Jane has personality A. And in this personality A, she has diabetes, and I think her example was diabetes, and diabetes to a point where she needs insulin, she needs injections. But when Jane goes into personality B and they do tests, she does not have insulin. So she doesn't have diabetes. She doesn't need insulin. And then if Jane, but she has a skin rash that is, all over her skin. And then if she had personality C, all of a sudden she doesn't have diabetes, she doesn't have a skin rash, and her eye color changes. It was just insane, like fascinating experiments that this particular scientist was part of. And and that kind of really opened my mind to that exploration and going, so what are the thoughts? What are the beliefs? What are the experiences? What are personality traits that cause you to have a particular condition, a particular ailment, particular illness? And I started to go, well, I wonder if the body must be intelligent. I mean, I don't wonder, it has to be intelligent because my heart beats and I'm not doing anything. I'm not saying, my heart and my blood is flowing and what am I doing? I'm just sitting there going, okay, great, thank you. And so I went, well, let's go deeper. Let's go into that exploration. So what is each, if I could break the body down into wisdom, then I need to ask questions. So what do the eyes do? Oh, the eyes see. So what would make my eyes have problems? Well, I don't want to see things. But it's not that like I'm consciously saying it, but I was like, well, why do so many people lose their vision as they get older? What happens? And I'd think about it, and I'm like, well, people that they love are getting sick. dying, we start to have our own health issues. We start to see a lot of things we don't like. We don't see often life through kind of rose-colored glasses. So our vision goes blurry because it's too painful to see certain things. And I was like, well, let me test this out. Let me connect. I had a lot of clients by that stage. Let me work with the clients who have glasses, which was not hard to find. And as I'm actually tuning in and seeing things, and I'd be writing down notes, but I'm like, but I have this logical understanding of it already. So what are the kinds of things that they're experiencing? And it could be that the person wasn't necessarily aware. It could be that they had a partner that was very black and white, and they felt like they had to adjust their vision almost of life to how their partner was. So I'm not saying it was exactly the same. It was like, here's the wisdom, but the stories were a bit different. But there was that wisdom. It has to do with seeing. Like, they can, why is this person not able to see things? And then to me, it was really interesting. Why do children have it? What environment are they in? What are they picking up from that environment? So I would kind of think about it, tune into people, write notes, ask them questions, compare, and go, ooh, I'm seeing a lot of links between people. And then I'd go, well, what are ears about? It's about hearing. So where don't we want to hear things? What is it that we don't want to hear? And I actually, to be honest, I had an ear infection not that long ago, and it was so, I've never had it before. And I was teaching at the time, and I said to my mom, who actually came to a lot of my courses over the years, and I was like, could you please kind of, look for me, tune in to me, tell me, because I don't have time. I'm teaching all day long, and this has just come up, and this is just getting really intense. And she said, because you've been teaching so much, and you're hearing people complaining and struggling, your ears are saying you need a break. And I said, it's so funny because I literally had those thoughts recently that maybe, I know, like, when I start doing too much, that my body's going, hey. And that's what people need to understand. Like, your body is your friend. And that's what I never understood. And it's saying every area is there about some, that has some wisdom. What does the throat or the thyroid do? What's that area about for us? Like, we use our voice to be heard, to express, to communicate. So when that breaks down in relationships and people become nasty and aggressive with each other, obviously you start having thyroid issues. I actually remember going to the US for a tour one time of my book, The Sacred Language of Your Body. And I was thinking to myself, I'd like to, I don't know this country. I'd like to understand what are the main issues that people have. And so I said, okay, I'm going to tune into people. I'm going to ask people if it's okay, and then I'm going to do it. And so it was amazing to me that every second person had a thyroid condition, to a point where I was like, I'm not making this up, but what is going on? Because I was like, are you not saying things? And what would be fascinating for me was that at that time I was doing still one-on-one, a lot of one-on-one sessions with people, and I would see them, and it would be like they would tell me things that they don't tell their husband or their children or the best friend, but I met them in an hour. I know more. I'm not saying details, but I know their secrets. I know what they're holding back and not telling their partner. And I was like, how do you live like this? But obviously, like, it's like, oh, I shouldn't say this. Oh, I'm gonna hold back, or I'm gonna, and all of this is the wisdom of the body. Because I was like, oh my God, this is where this is coming from. And then, I was looking at heart conditions because it's one of the biggest things. And I don't just look at things, I'm like, What are the experiments? Because people will say, well, it's your food, it's your diet. And I'm like, I am a big believer in eating healthy, but I don't believe that diet is the only thing that causes things. Because again, I was like, well, show me experiments. What does science do? What are they saying? And I found these experiments. This is to do with heart condition that was done in, I think it was in a little town. It could have been Italy, I think, maybe. I think it was Italy. And in this town, everybody ate a lot of carbs, a lot of pasta, bread, Italian diet. But they had this incredible community, like this amazing, amazing community. And in this community, people loved each other and they were kind to each other. And pretty much nobody had a heart condition. But they were eating the food that we're told causes heart problems. So I was like, well, I don't align just with this generalized way of, thinking. And then my mom was telling me this the other day, but I don't think it's not the first time I've heard of this experiment. She said, oh, there's been a recent experiment of, people like in their, I think my mom's 69 now. So people in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and they've been put into a house and they've changed, like, so huge house, this house where everything looks like it looked like when you were during the 70s. The music is playing like that. There's no mirrors. The food, that people had, the clothes, everything is like that. And she said they were testing people's kind of how their body was regenerating and whether they, I think it was like 3 weeks or something like that, they were there, if their cells were regenerating, if they felt younger, and she said, oh my God, it was like their vitality and their energy increased. It was like massively in terms of the tests and their cognitive abilities and the, how alive they were, how much, and so it's like, well, there's so much more than meets the eye, essentially. And so I really realized that, the heart is all about relationships. We know this. Like even the neck, right? We have sayings like, oh, this person's pain in the neck. Well, we know that. And so to me, it's like, well, here's the throat. It's about communication. If I push things away, then of course I'm going to get neck pain. If I don't deal with it, if I don't express it, I'm going to have other issues, but also neck pain. And we already know that in some ways. It's already in our linguistics.
So, as you're saying all this, I'm going like, oh my God, you're talking about the eyes, you're talking about the ears, you're talking about the thyroid, you're talking about the neck, the brain, the gut, all that sort of stuff. And I'm thinking, you need to be writing like the encyclopedia. But maybe is that what the secret language of the body, your
Yeah,
book, is
that's
all about?
yeah. Well, it is. It's definitely what it's about. And
So
I
you
do want
break
to
the
say
body.
that, yeah, like yeah, into different I go through every kind of part of the body and I talk about what are the thought patterns, beliefs, emotions, actions, how you behave, experiences that you've had that can cause that part of your body to break down, but also what can you do to repair it and recover. And then I have a section on diseases. I have a section on all the systems of the body and what they're about and what they're trying to, how connected and interconnected they are. I talk about emotions. So I have a section on that. And I also have a section on color, feeling.
Okay, now you also had a talking point that piqued my interest, and I can explain why after you answer. You work with the left and right sides of the body to explore feminine and masculine dynamics. So, talk to me about that for a moment.
And again, this is not a new concept. Like, this is in Chinese medicine. This is Jung talked about this quite a lot from his from psychological perspective, and I'm a very big fan of his work in terms of archetypes and understanding things. So what I kind of again in breaking the body down into understanding, so what I kind of went with, tuning into people and looking at it in and researching is understanding the fact that the left side of the body is where your heart is, right? So where your spleen is, and they are known to be more of a feminine yin organs. And they're so the heart is more of that nurturing, softer part of us. And what the left side of the body is really saying to us is, how do you feel inside of yourself? Right? So how do I feel in terms of when I wake up to each morning emotionally inside of myself? How do I take care of myself? Do I nurture myself? Do I ignore my needs? Do I rest when I need to? Do I listen? Do I push? Do I force? How much time do I, get to know myself? Who am I? What happened to me? Did I learn from those experiences, or did I just ignore them and push them away? Like, how do I know myself? How do I know what my weaknesses are? That's kind of all the feminine side that's going, I look within to try and understand myself. And it's also very, very connected to, let's say, our feminine line. So it's connected to my parents, my mother, sorry, grandmother, great grandmother, and so on, and what they went through in their lives, and how, as a child, who were the feminine influences in my life, how I embraced or absorbed this into myself. So did I learn to express my feelings? Did I learn to hide from them? Did I become this doing machine? Did I learn to have boundaries and know when I need to have time for myself and nurture, like all the basic things? What did I see? What is kind of the colors of my emotions and my soul? And then you've got the masculine side, the right side of the body, and it's all about, well, how do I want people to see me on the outside? So it's like, what am I going to do in terms of my career? How am I going to support my family? How am I, like, what is my vision? What is my purpose? How are people seeing me? What can I, how am I going to support my family? All of these types of things that are, I guess, more of a masculine thing. Concentration, logic, connecting the pieces. How am I going to learn something and understand something? But a lot of it is, what's my work? How am I going to do this stuff for other people, as opposed to just, like what's my inner self? And also my relationship with my father and the masculine people in my life. How do they impact and affect me? So, when I was a younger person, did my father say that positive things about me? Did he acknowledge me? Did he inspire me, or did he put me down? Because if, like, recently I was actually doing a podcast with somebody, and he and this lovely man is an actor, very sensitive, beautiful person, and he asked me to tune in to him, and I was like, okay. And I could see he had liver issues, but immediately I could see that he was connected to his father. And and I said to him, it's almost like what I'm seeing as you were growing up, your father didn't accept you, and there's all this rejection and anger that is stored in the liver, because he had really struggled with liver and gallbladder issues. And it's like, well, I know that this is connected to, to childhood and your experience with your father, even if it shows up way, way later as a physical condition. And I just saw this over and over and over again with people. And I went, I think this is really useful to know, because then if you know, then you can go even from the basics, well, my body, I'm having heart issues. I need to nurture. I need to stop. I need to slow down. I need to rest more. I need to ask myself, what's important to me now? If I'm having issues with my liver, for instance, like you were saying, what do we do? We don't know what to do. Well, if it's with an issue with my father, maybe I'm carrying a lot of anger. Maybe I need to change my perspectives. Maybe I need to let go and forgive. Maybe I need to refather myself. Maybe I need to find people, maybe I need to communicate with my father. Maybe I need to find people in my life who can be a new father figure for me. Like, there's so many things we can do when we understand and when we know.
The reason it piqued my interest is many years ago, I was going to a massage therapist once a month. And about the third visit, she started asking me about the men in my life because she said, on my right side, she was really feeling stress and things. Is that the same sort of vein?
Yes, exactly. She's correct. Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, and at the time I went, good thinking about it, but I did not understand that the bigger piece of what she was saying in terms of everything, you wear it somewhere in your body, it sounds like.
Well, yeah. Because each part of the body is actually like a story of your life and tells a
Wow.
story of your life. There's
So we
no
all need
part
to
of your
go this
body
book and buy this book.
that
Dying of
doesn't.
curiosity now. Okay, and then the other question is this other podcaster that you were talking to, you can actually do this, like we're on Zoom. Can you still look at me and sort of make have some thoughts and ideas like over Zoom?
I mean, I used to do it on the phone. I used to kind of just
Oh,
go,
Craig.
not
Well,
even
I guess, yeah,
seeing the
because you did it
person.
from that picture of the on the brochure, didn't you? On the
Well,
flyer.
yeah, I can. I
Holy
mean,
crap.
well, I have learned how to turn it off so that I can just be normal with people. Otherwise, I
Yeah,
would
right. You're gonna
cross
go
the
crazy.
road and
Yeah.
see, things and go, oh my God, I'm like, this is insanity. I'm gonna like go crazy. But yeah, like, I mean, is that what you're asking? You'd like me to give you some insights or?
Was just really interesting.
Yeah.
Because I think where I'm going to go with this too is the fact that this is an incredibly huge gift for one person. I'm just going to flick through because I've made some notes here. Where did it go? Okay, so you work with a variety of people, including health professionals. You teach internationally. Now, I understand that you're obviously helping people on a personal level, but can you teach people how to develop, acknowledge, I don't know what the word is, the same gift you have? And so concludes part one of my conversation with Inna Segal. In part two, Inna answers the question I just left you with and talks more about how she was able to talk with and help her grandparents with the trauma in their past. She has four free master classes if you want to enter her world.